Hey everyone, still in Southern California. I'm actually visiting family, haven't seen them since before COVID, and needed to get out here. So I'm got my cell phone, that's about all I have, to try to record a podcast. So I'm going over more personal stories, things that I can say that are not, that don't require a slideshow or anything like that, or a computer. So most of you don't know this, by the way, fun fact, I guess, but I am from Southern California originally. I was born outside of LA, and most of my extended family actually lives out here. And many of you think I'm from the South somewhere, and I do have my South Carolina hat on, but the reason for that, I think, is probably a few things. I listened to way too much country music, and I started talking a little bit like Southerners, probably as a result, partially of that. But I also lived in North Carolina for about a year, and I lived in Virginia for 3 years, and my grandfather's from Mississippi, and we have a lot of more extended family in Mississippi, and we go down there every year. So I have a lot of ancestors, a lot of family in the South, but originally born in California and was raised most of my life in upstate New York. So there's actually a little bit of, I guess, all of America in me. I don't know. But anyway, that's where I am right now. That's I'm right near the beach, and my wife's out there having a good time. It's our afternoon to go to the beach, and I figured I'd just record a few little podcasts. And I wanted to share with you a thought that I had a few weeks ago. I visited a church that was historically a black church in the South, and it was a wonderful experience. This was a solid church. I know many ethnic churches are more Pentecostal, or they tend to, sometimes there's a reputation that they don't have as strong theology and that kind of thing. From what I could understand at this church, their theology was pretty solid. Pastor was they were very nice people. I felt very accepted, very personable. And so I just wanted to share with you a little bit about my experience. And then a thought that I had afterward, which is, it's just part of the reason I don't like old-fashioned, if you want to call it that, white supremacy, and I don't like wokeness and social justice. And it's kind of one of the reasons, it's not every reason, but one of the reasons that I don't like both of them is the same. It's because they both would destroy genuine, authentic, organic culture. And every church is unique. If you walk into a lot of fundamentalist churches, you'll feel like you're walking into the 1950s. If you walk into a Calvary Chapel, you'll probably feel like you're walking into California, kind of like 1975 a little bit. Just with a lot of different things, not everything, but you feel like if you walk into a Lutheran church, sometimes you're walking back into medieval times. Some Eastern Orthodox and Catholic churches and things like that, you'll feel like it's pre-medieval almost. Presbyterian churches formed at the time this country was founded, you'll feel like you're in colonial times. There's a sense in which the architecture, the music, just the style of communication, all kinds of things contribute to a church's culture. And maybe culture is not the word, because the church is embedded within a broader culture, but the church's style, the church's just the feel that you have when you're in there. And of course, this church that I went to a few weeks ago was no different. This is formed, I think, before the Civil War, historically black church. And I mean, they have traditions going back. They have ways of communicating, ways of relating to one another, ways of preaching, very accepted. I mean, there's things that were done in that church that I don't think would ever happen in just kind of your evangelical church that's reinventing itself every 10 years or trying to get away from what it was 10 years ago to be hip and relevant. They, you know, a lot of those churches never want to admit fault. They're very perfectionistic in a way. This church, the pastor got up there, he apologized for something he had said in the previous week at Bible study, and it wasn't even something that was wrong necessarily, just some people were offended. And there, it felt like a very accepting place. It wasn't like this was a big thing. This was just the pastor communicating with his congregation, and they'll talk right back to him, and he'll talk to them, and there's something very sweet about that. In fact, the pastor kept mentioning me in the sermon, kept picking on me a little in a very funny way, but just very accepting, very loving to me, prayed over my wife and I at the end. It was a pretty solid church. In fact, I was surprised a little. The pastor actually said All Lives Matter in his prayer at the end. and gives you a little bit idea of kind of where they're coming from at this particular church. I would have had no trouble, I think, being part of that church, submitting to the pastor and the elders and just being part of it. And there's certainly some traditions and things that I would have to get used to, but I would have to just accept that I'm not there. If I was going to join a church like that, I'm not there to at least if it's not something that's doctrinally heretical or false teaching, in which case I wouldn't be at the church, but I'm not there to like change the way they do everything. And this is one of the things that I thought about. The pastor at this church had a very unique, different style than what I'm used to at many of the churches that I've been to and been members of. The congregants treated the pastor differently. And there's a lot of reverence for the pastor, but the way they talked to him was very different. The way they dressed, very formal, a lot different than some of the places I've been and been used to. Music, they could actually clap and sing. So many churches I've been in, they don't have rhythm, but they did. And there was probably 1,000 things that I'm just not even detecting that I felt when I was in there that I just thought, this is special. This is a special place, and I wouldn't want to change a thing about it. And I know there probably are things. You know, if I went there for a few more weeks, I probably start to see, okay, here's a weak area. Here's something that would need to be changed. But the main point I'm trying to make is that they have a way of doing things. They have their traditions, their habits. They're within orthodoxy. And there's nothing I would want to change about it. And social justice and old-fashioned white supremacy would both want to change things about that. At least that's my understanding. Someone who is a white supremacist, a true, and I mean a real one, they're, you know, I met one in Michigan, I remember, years ago, and like an authentic white supremacist, like really hated other people, thought white people were morally superior because they were white, that kind of thing. I've really hardly met anyone else like that, at least I wasn't aware of it. But this person was like that, and he hated them. He would want to disband a church like that. He would, if a church like that existed, he's the kind of person that would want to, they would have to conform to something different. They'd have to have probably, I don't know, maybe a white person come in and be in charge of everything because by the nature of their genetics, they were superior or something like that. Well, that's repugnant. And what that would do is it would destroy the culture of, or the habits and traditions of a church like that. It wouldn't have the same sense, the same feel. And it would be artificial and it wouldn't be organic. And there's something very organic and authentic about churches that they just develop, and regions that just, they're allowed to just kind of develop and form their own comfortable ways of living that are unique to them. And I think there's a beauty about that. I really do. I think that that's one of the reasons God he separated everyone at the Tower of Babel, but gave them different languages, and they had to settle in different places, and they formed different cultures. And there is a sense in which, and this is true diversity. This isn't the kind of diversity that the social justice warriors try to push on people, which is really more ideological conformity. That's what their diversity is. I remember someone sent me all the screenshots from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary's Kingdom Diversity application, right? So if you're an ethnic minority, you can sign up to get a scholarship from Kingdom Diversity. But as you're filling out the questions, a number of them basically are questions related to, are you going to push, are you going to be an activist? Are you going to push your diversity at this campus? What kind of things in the past have you done to push diversity and stuff? The thing is, social justice warriors want to push something on everyone. It's not like a morally justified in scripture, this is a right thing as opposed to an evil thing. They want to push certain ways of living, ways of doing that are not right because the Bible says they're right or anything like that. They're just, they're different. And arbitrarily, those different things are chosen to be morally superior because of whatever factor. There's more oppression involved in them or something. I don't know. But white supremacists do kind of the same thing. They push, or at least when they had more control, and then the societies in which they gain control, I'm talking about like scientific racists, they push their agenda onto everyone else. Everyone has to conform to some standard like this. and it destroys true diversity. And the ironic thing is social justice warriors can push their agenda in the name of diversity, which is such a contradiction. But I think there's something special about that little little church out of the way, functioning the way they did over the years, developing the way they did. There's just something special about it. And there's something special about other churches that have different traditions and are made up of different kind of people that live in those areas and have a different way of doing things. And as long as we're not talking about fundamental commands that God has given us in Scripture for how to do church, then why not have those differences? Why not have a livelier sermon? Why not have music which is a little more peppy? Why not, dress up on Sunday morning, real nice? And that's something that's related to culture. And there's nothing in the Bible that says, well, it's fine to wear shorts on a Sunday and a t-shirt, or you must wear a suit on a Sunday. I think it gets back to principles like reverence but a lot of these things end up coming back to some kind of a tradition that's formed over time, and what's considered modest, what's considered reverent, and all those kinds of things. It's fairly complicated, but it's over time that these things develop. And I love that. I think a lot of you who are listening love that too. When you travel to an area, you probably want to see what the local culture is like. You want to have different experiences. We want to eat different foods. You want to see, what do the people do here? And to conform everyone to just one thing, they all have to be one particular way, it takes all the fun out of it. It takes the flavor out of it. I think it takes the love out of it a little bit, because you develop a love for the smells and what you saw and the relationships and the noises and all the things that you that are familiar to you. I'm thinking of like back to when I was young and a kid, you smelled, what you smelled as a kid. You develop a love for those kinds of things. And so anyway, just wanted to say this is a more of a very personal podcast. I'm not going over Bible verses. I'm not going over, someone's false teaching and critiquing it or anything like that. I'm just sharing you, this is unedited, the opinion of John Harris. One of the reasons I don't like wokeness and white supremacy at the same time, or any kind of supremacy, is because of how it destroys true diversity. And I think social justice is against true diversity. It is for ideological conformity. So there you go. There's an opinion that hopefully that was helpful. Maybe it'll make you think of some of the things that you appreciate and that you love that are unique to your church or your family or your region that maybe you didn't realize before. Sometimes you travel and you realize things that you didn't before that were unique. So anyway, God bless. Hope that was intriguing, at least somewhat. And more stuff coming probably later this week and next week. Bye now.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.